Blog Talk Radio.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep, and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. New York. Never sleep, and find I'm a number one, top of the list, king of the hill, a number one. These little town blues, oh, up to you, New York, New York, New York.
Well, there you go. What a way to start a day. Welcome to Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio, and today I have a really special guest who's written a really amazing book called Black Lion. The show is with Carlos Viola, and he's going to be in the studio today talking about his new book that he's written and what made him get into writing a book after he'd been involved in doing technology, and he's going to talk a little bit about that and how that led into this book. But this book's really cool. And for everyone, before we go, before I bring Carlos in, I'm going to give you the website. It's Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, Viola, V-I-O-L-A.com. And you can see Black Lion there. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, iBooks, and Nook. And there's even a Spanish version, which is really cool. Because Carlos, I think, is originally from Argentina, so we're going to be talking a little bit about everything today. And real quick, if you want to call in, it's 347-677-1036. The chat room is open. If you want to go live, you can listen to us live in the chat room. And I'm a little slow today. This has been it's been a long week already. It's only Tuesday. So let me bring Carlos into the studio, and we can talk. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Hello, Holly. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be in your show. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm super excited. I want to ask you real quick before we get into the interview, why did you choose, because you know what's really fun, guys, I forgot to tell everyone, when you're on my shows, I usually let my guests pick out the music that I'm going to play before and closing. Why did you choose New York, New York?
Well, I like Frank Sinatra very much. I loved his voice. I mean, when I was growing in my early 20s, many years ago, I always heard his song. And especially this one is a song that I like very, very much. So I thought it was appropriate to choose that one for the opening.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And we're going to we're going to be closing with another song that he did. And let's talk about your new book and Black Lion. You come from a technology background. Did that kind of lead you into writing this book that you wrote?
Well, there are two things that first, writing the book, I was never a writer, at least not a novel writer. I wrote very many reports and even manuals or technical books during my career.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working in that for like 40 years. But I never had written a novel, and I am a passionate reader of novels, actually. And I used to travel for business a lot. And in those travels, I always read novels, especially like Dan Brown, Sidney Sheldon, Brad Thor, Brad Taylor, John Grisham, and others. And I always was so amazed for what the stories took you from one place to the other. And I always said, what do I need to be able to write a novel? So one day, I just sat down in front of the computer and started writing without knowing exactly what I was going to write about. Black Lion actually is a novel that's, the plot is about a U.S. Army major in a special forces that they fight against terrorism. And I guess I've always been interested in the military aspect of things. I grew up in a military family. My father was in the military for like 30 or more years. I went to the military academy in Argentina for a little less than 2 years. And then I've always seen and follow also very much the war on terror and things that the men and women in uniform do here in the States, working, fighting for world freedom. So I've always been very much interested in that, and I wrote about that. And yes, you're right that my background in technology helped me because, my company makes different natural resources service using satellite technology and geographic information systems. And as you may well know, all of the technology, remote sensing technology, both photo interpretation, aerial photographs, satellite technology, all comes from the military.
Right.
All that technology was evolving, and it went, for example, the first when the space race started in 1959, when the Russians put the first observation satellite, the Sputnik, in orbit, the United States
followed. Was that the first satellite, 1959?
Yeah,
1959. Really?
That's
interesting. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. I had no idea the satellites were from 1959 was when we launched the first known satellite. Do you think there were satellites before that, Carlos, that they didn't tell us about?
No. We're not speaking of communication satellites. I'm speaking of observation satellites, actually. The Sputnik was the first put in orbit by the Russians and for making observations about around other countries.
Mm-hmm.
The United States shortly followed in 1961 with Explorer, and then from there the space war went on and on. The space race. I'm sorry.
Really?
Did you
get to see any of this stuff? Did you get to go to the launches and? Or did you have any, what was your participation in this?
Now, those were military satellites. That's why I was going to get to. that the first civil-use satellite with public information was launched in July 1972.
Wow.
So we had, my company was created by my father just after he went out of the military in 1973. So we had a very good timing because on July of 72 is the first civil satellite for civil applications. And he started the company in early 73. And actually, I started working with him at that time when I was 19, and I was at the same time in college studying agriculture engineering. And I was able to go to, at that time, I was taking some courses and classes at Stanford University and University of California at Berkeley, and I had the opportunity to go to Vandenberg Air Force Base in Lompoc, between San Francisco and L.A., and I saw the launch of Landsat 1, actually.
Really?
From Vandenberg. We're very excited, yes.
Wow. What was that like at 19 years old to see all this stuff happening, front of you?
It was very exciting, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it very much, and I remember at that time, 1973 or even 74, that when we visited some clients and showed them the satellite images that were public domain, so there was nothing secret on them, they were astonished that somebody was watching them from space, and they could believe it was like talking science fiction, no?
No, that's great.
No, I was saying, today everybody is accustomed to see satellite images. They're in magazines, they're in the news, they're in movies, so... But I think that helped me a lot because many of the systems that we use later in the civilian world came from the military, and what the military use today, of course, secret, but many of the things that you've seen in many of those movies, anything can be possible, no? From space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you on that. And just so everybody knows, you are originally, you're from Buenos Aires?
That's right. I'm from Buenos Aires. I live half of the time in Buenos Aires and half of the time in Miami.
I said Argentina because I know you spent some time in Argentina too.
Yes, of course. Buenos Aires, Argentina, I spent like half of the time there. And then in Florida and Miami, like half of the time.
I love Florida. Yeah. You know what? I totally can understand you, and I know you're very fluent in Spanish, which is really cool because this book that you've written is also written in Spanish, which is really unique. And again, I want to give the website out. It's carlosviola.com, Black Lion, and the book is available on Amazon, iBooks, and Nook, and there's an English version and a Spanish version. You're on a headset, right? Are you moving around?
No, not much. You want me to move?
No, you're moving. I just hear a lot of noise in the background. And I wanted to tell you to just take a breath and slow down a little bit. You're like,
okay, I will.
Yeah, this is really a relaxed interview. It's not like, you know, I'm going to ask you something and you have to answer me. I'm really interested. I was totally intrigued when I first heard about your book, and then I read about your background. I wanted to know more about how your background influenced you to write Black Lion, which is your very first fiction novel, and how, you know, working around high-tech satellites and your father, was your father a big mentor to you?
Oh, yes, I think he was, especially in the company, and I worked with him for many, many years, from 1973 until 1989, when he retired because my mother at the time was very sick. And I took over as president of the company in that year in 1989, until a year and a half ago, which I passed to be the chairman of the board, and now actually my brother, Eduardo, is CEO. So I'm not having more day-to-day activities on the operations, but we supervise a lot from the board, actually.
But you know what's going on. I mean, it's like for you, this is like you've been around it, you've seen what they can do, and the satellites are really intriguing to me because I was always wondering how, you know, they they do that and how they know what's going on. And you hear about satellites and you know, and then you hear about, I know that you talk about the terroristic plots that the world has taken on, and that that really drove a big, that was a big driving force in you writing this book as well, which I want to get into. But I want to ask you, you know, as you were growing up as a child, did you know that you wanted to get into, was your father always into the satellite industry, and did you know that that's where you wanted to go, or was it something that you really enjoyed, like science and stuff like that?
Well, when I was growing up as a kid, I lived very much military life, going from one place to another because my father was
sure.
in the military. And, and within the military, he always was doing technical stuff and satellite work, and he also had the opportunity of studying in the University of Berkeley in California and doing some training with the 5th Fleet and the 5th Army in California. That was back in 1961, so I was like 7 years old when we lived there in Berkeley. And I thought, I like that the military stuff from there, but I never saw the satellite industry until I really got into it when he started the company from the private standpoint. So when I started working, and that was, as I told you before, studying agriculture engineering, which has a lot of application for the use of satellite technology. I really liked it. I did training in image processing, and it's really amazing. And it's really, I still continue to be amazed of the things that we can do today. In 1973, the pixel, which is the minimum resolution of a satellite, was like 80 meters by 80 meters. That means that anything smaller than 80 meters, you could not differentiate. You could not detect. And that was in 1973.
Really?
Today, the pixels are 50 centimeters, so that means that you can perfectly see a person from above. Well, you have many examples in different movies and magazines, and you can see satellite images. So it's easy to see a person or a car or whatever from 300 or 400 miles from the Earth. You know? So, and these are, I told you before, observation satellites. Then you have the communication satellites, which we do not deal with, that they are used for radio or television and all that. So
Wow. It's
very interesting, and it really it helped me with the writing in the book. I think that definitely did. I took into account many of the systems and things I got to know, I got to study about. And I always like to do some research and read additional things. And I was always attracted by what technology that the military was using in along the time. So, yes, it helped me a lot.
What do you think about the current day status with NASA and stuff? Is that kind of exciting? With NASA, all the stuff that's going on with NASA, the black holes, all the space shuttles, all everything that's been launched and everything. Is that exciting for you to see all that stuff happening now?
No, definitely. The space shuttle system or program, which is already terminated, was really, really incredible. Not that this bird that goes like a satellite and flies around the Earth and took those impressive images of the Earth, and there were so many scientific projects done with the space shuttle program. Even the whole world was mapped with the space transportation system, as it was called. So NASA really did a huge work and a huge contribution to the scientific world, and not so scientific, because we have lots of public images, public projects that are available.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool
that we could actually see what's really going on, you know. For me, everybody knows, and for those of you that don't know, when I was younger, I wanted to be an astronomer. I actually did. I wanted to be an astronomer, and the thing that held me back from becoming an astronomer was that I sucked at math. I did, and spelling. I will not say that I don't suck on it with spelling, because I do. Spelling is horrible for me, and math is really bad for me. So, yeah. So I wanted to be an astronomer because the stars and, you know, all that stuff really intrigues me. So when I saw this, I thought this was a really cool thing. So now let's talk about your, your novel, Black Lion, how that incorporates a lot of what you actually lived and experienced. Why don't you give our listeners, and for everyone that tuned in late, if you need to listen to the show again, it will be available on iTunes afterwards and on demand on Red Velvet Media, Blog Talk Radio. And if you'd like to, the chat room is open. And if you'd like to call in and have a question for myself or Carlos, our number is 347-677-1036. Meanwhile, why don't you give everybody a little bit of an outline on what Black Lion is about?
Okay. This is a story, a fiction novel. It tells the story of a major in the U.S. Army who's a mm-hmm. member of special groups within the Special Forces, the Green Berets, called Desert mm-hmm. Lions. And this is, of course, fictitious. He has a group of people that work with him through presidential directive. The novel starts with a presidential directive saying that the U.S. wants to finish the war on terror in 1 year, and well, this directive or this order takes all the Mike Harris is the main character and his Joseph uh-huh. Lyon to many places in the world fighting war against terrorism, and there's a lot of subplots and things going on in different cities around the world, and I like to include those cities, many of which I have visited personally, and I put some interesting that are really, for example, I'd like to go to Café de la Paix in Paris, so I put that Mike met his fiancé Marty in Café de la Paix, and I described a little bit that, and I think that those were nice and really reflect quite a lot. The war on terror goes on everywhere in the world. So
yeah.
It's a fiction novel, and so does not reflect reality in total, but in a way it does, because what's happening in the world today, unfortunately, terrorism is a reality, and the need to fight it against it is also one. So although it's a fiction novel, it describes what's going on today, unfortunately, in the world.
Isn't that true? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I know in the description of your book also it talks about 9/11. You know, 9/11 really changed a lot of people's lives, and I know I personally lost a couple friends, and I know people mm-hmm. that worked at 9/11, you know, at 9/11, and it was very heartbreaking, and, you know, I think that, you know, it's good to bring about an awareness to everybody, and it's
yeah.
good to get lost in something, and so I want to ask you, this novel that you wrote, it's basically really, it's very real, isn't it? How do you relate to the character?
The main character, which is this Major Mike, is a person which is all about loyalty, sacrifice, honor, duty, respect, integrity, courage, service to its country and to the world peace. So in a way, it's a very honorable thing. That's why one of the things I admire most of the military life is honor and respect and trying to do things right and fighting for something, wanting the people to be in peace and fighting for your country and giving your service an interest. Of course, there are bad things, as in everywhere, but mainly the soldiers, and I think the priests also, give the service for something very honorable and respectful, and I really admire that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how did you feel? Do you remember where you were for 9/11?
Yes, 9/11, I was in Buenos Aires with a car with two business associates going to a meeting, and my wife called me and told me I was in a car, so I was not watching the news or whatever. And she told me about the first tower and then the second, and I couldn't believe it. Really couldn't believe it. And I when I saw the images, it was incredible. No? Yes. Yes, I remember.
Crazy,
that,
huh?
Yeah, incredible. Very
mm-hmm.
crazy.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, this book that you wrote really takes you on an adventure, because you're really actually getting to, you know, for a lot of you, I've gotten a copy through it. I want to also thank everybody for setting this interview up with you today. This is really fun. And, you know, the thing is, this book is really cool because you can get lost in it, and also it also will help you bring about an awareness. I mean, it talks about, Mike and the Lions who have to travel around the world that are eliminating terrorist elements, you know, the Al-Qaeda, you know, that threatens to disrupt world peace. And then also there's a love affair that goes on in this book too, huh?
It's a what, sorry?
There's a little bit of a romance that goes on in this book,
yes.
Too, huh?
Yes, there's a little bit of romance. Mike meets Marta Johansen, which was a Danish girl, very rich, who's also a pacifist, very sweet, and hates everything about war and fighting, but they get very much in love, and she gets dragged into that struggle, into the story that the terrorism keeps going on. So she's very, very, they're very close along all the novel, and well, it's interesting, and I really had very, very much fun writing on that.
Yeah. How long did it take you to write this?
A little bit more than 2 years, like 2 years and two months. I started in June of 2011, and I finished like 2 months ago. So
wow.
A little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of research, and well, of course, now we have the tools like internet, because at the time that we were speaking before, in 1973, there was no internet, so we had to go to the library for doing research. Now we have a whole lot of libraries at the fingertip of a keyboard, and it's really cool to be able to just stay in the office and do also those type of research. So the technology helped me that there also.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself having to... Did you do your own editing, or did you have somebody edit it for you?
Oh no. Now, that was a very, very long process. For the editing, I wrote the novel in Spanish, actually. I did the editing with an editor in Spain, and after that we did several editings, continued with several more editing, because we keep going back and forth. Then when I had the typesetting for the novel, they did another editing and so on. And then I had it translated. Well, I did half and half, actually. I had it translated here in the States with a group that are very, very good, and I was very, very, very lucky to have a translator that actually had been an ex-special forces in the U.S. Army. He was in Afghanistan and Iraq in service there, so... He helped me a lot with a lot of military terms that some of them are in the U.S. are slightly different from the ones we use in Argentina. And after that, I had edited the English version here in the States. And then from those feedback I had in English, I changed part of the Spanish part, so I had it edited again. And after going back and forth, when we had the final typesetting for the e-books, which, as you wrote
uh-huh.
them, they're already there. But then I have the hardcover edition, which will be out in 2 weeks. That's a different typesetting also. So we have to...
That was a lot of work. That was a lot of work.
Yeah,
there's a lot of work that goes into publishing a book. A lot of people don't realize that. I want to thank Melissa also for sending this interview up with you today. She was... the driving force. She sent me over your information, and it was really nice to get something that I, you know, besides just the rock and roll stuff. Oh, and I want to say real quick to everyone that's listening, real quick, make sure to tune in tomorrow. I'm going to have Frank Stefanko on. And then on Thursday, I'm going to have my Halloween show. And then on Friday, I have a really special music guest. So this is a long week for me, Carlos.
yeah,
I don't normally do I don't normally do interviews on Tuesdays or Thursdays, but you know what? This is a really cool week. And when she mentioned this book to me, I was like, really cool. So how did you find writing the realistic, you know, parts of the, you know, what you remembered into this book? Like, how was that for you? Were you reliving stuff that you actually went through or had seen?
Well, first I want to also thank Melissa from Ascot News because she's been very, very helpful with everything she's doing. I'm glad she was able to set up this interview. I'm very happy to be here. And I've been through many of your shows and your website, and you really have very, very interesting guests and very interesting stuff. So I guess
well, there you go. You're there. You're actually going to be one of my interesting guests too. So you know, I mean, here you go. I mean, you're on Red Velvet Media too. And this is, it's really fun. I enjoy doing my shows, and I enjoy having people on to talk about things that normally people wouldn't hear. And like that's why I always say, it's like if you want to hear something that like, if you were there, you'd only hear it. Like right now we're hearing about stuff about the satellites and things like that, which is kind of cool, you know, and really, really interesting. I didn't even know that the first real satellite went up in 1959. Who was the first one to have a satellite? The Russians, you said?
The Russians started the space race, the satellite was called the Sputnik. And then right after that, like a year and a half, almost 2 years, the U.S. put the first one in space, which was the Explorer. But after that, I think that U.S. technology was well more advanced than the Russians at that time, although they started. So there have been different conflicts, and the use of a satellite actually helped a lot. I don't know if you remember the incident with Cuba during the presidency of
the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
My father was involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis, actually.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, he worked with the embassy, so I can't really talk too much about it, but I was like barely able to understand anything at that point. I was so little, but at that time I remember hearing that my father had to go away, that he knew he was actually setting up technology for the president and the ship that they were going to take the president to, and he basically knew where all the missiles were at that point. I'm only telling you what I remember from what I heard. You know, growing up. So this stuff has always intrigued me. And, that was a hard time. Oh, we have a caller. We have a caller on the line. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Let's see who it is. I don't know. 913, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Adam. I want to ask your guest about what he thinks about recently, what's going on about U.S. spying in allies like Germany and you know, other countries in Europe.
Carlos, would you like to take this call?
Sure, no problem. Whenever I have the press release out and saying that I've been involved in high-tech satellite imagery and all that, many people ask about the spy satellites and what do I think of the spying of the U.S. and on other countries. I said that I don't have my opinion formed, but I cannot speak about anything that's secret because I don't know it, and nobody that doesn't have a clearance can talk about that. So I'm not the right person, and nobody except somebody with a very top secret clearance to talk about that. So I don't know what the U.S. is doing more than what I see in the media. Some may be true, some may be not, but I cannot speak of that. I mean, nobody that doesn't have a top secret clearance will be able to talk about that. You can speculate, you can say if they were correct, if the NSA really hurt Merkel or whatever, but I don't know if it's true, and we'll probably never know.
Are you there, caller?
Yeah. Can I ask him another question?
What is your first name first before we go on
Adam.
To the second question? Adam. Adam,
yeah,
welcome to the show.
My name is Adam. Yeah.
Adam, where are you calling from? What area?
I'm calling from Missouri.
Missouri? Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh, is it nice in Missouri right now? Do you have nice
weather?
No,
it's raining right now.
Really? Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. What would you like? What else would you like to ask Carlos?
Yeah, my last question. How to stop other countries, like other enemies, like Iran or like Al Qaeda from spying on USA? You know, how to stop those bad countries? You know.
Adam, do you speak Spanish?
No, I speak French.
You speak French?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I was going to say, because, you know, I know Carlos' first language is Spanish, and I was going to let you two have a conversation in that. But, yeah, Carlos comes from a background where he worked with his father, and then he, saw what was happening and decided to write this book, Black Lion, which is a fiction novel. But there's a lot of his real life that is in this, a lot of real life experiences and a lot of what he thought was, he had heard in book. So, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, Adam, what you asked me about how the U.S. can do anything to stop Iran or any others from doing that, I'm sure that not only the U.S., but several countries have different technologies, countermeasures for intelligence purposes that they can use. I don't know exactly the tools they can use because, again, as I said before, all that is classified. What I wrote in the novel and where the background I come from is always from public satellites, and sometimes I put some other things which you can speculate about, and since it's a fiction, it could be true, it could not, but you're asking a question very real now, so I don't exactly know the tools that the U.S. or any other country for this could be used to stop those things.
Well, you know, I'm going to just interject here real quick. I would like to see some really positive change come about, you know, and, you know, I think it's really important for us to all know what's really happening in the world. And if you really want to know what, I mean, just, I think it's about, everybody should be aware of what's happening. And, you know, it's books like Black Lion, like these fiction novels that really intrigue people. And, you know, being that Carlos came from a background of working with satellites and working around and seeing some things like that, it's really interesting because his whole take on it, from what I'm getting from this book, is that he really doesn't like terrorism. And the book is based on, you know, fiction, but there are a lot of real-life situations that pass over, I believe, into this book. So I would really love to have, the show's supposed to be about the book, but it's so hard because, Carlos, you have been around so much, and I understand, Adam, too, you just, like, are thinking, you know, wow, what can we do, you know, what can we possibly think about doing, you know, and I'm right there with you, Adam.
It's an interesting book, I think. I think I would get his book and buy it one day. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's available. The book is actually available on Amazon Kindle. That's also on iBooks, and it's on Nook. Okay. And if you go to his website, which is again carlosviola.com, I think you can read a little bit more in there about what's in the media and testimonials and stuff. But, Adam, you know, I'm going to be having some more shows about these types of situations, and we're going to be talking about very real situations that are going on with the NSA and Deepwater Horizon and stuff like that. So make sure you check out what's coming up on Red Velvet Media, because we will be talking about the very real things that are happening in the world, which Carlos has actually experienced, but has graciously written a great novel for people to read. So thank you so much for calling in, Adam. Did you want to stay in the chat room? Would you like me to mute you?
No, thank you. I would like to thank you and thank your guest, Carlos, again.
Thank you, Adam.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Adam, for calling in. You know, Carlos, it's really funny. I bet you get this all the time because you've been around it, right? You've been around a lot of things, right? So you saw how my interview started off with you, was really talking about, I was really intrigued with what you had actually experienced and how the book came about. So now what I want to know is, what are you working on for the future? What are you currently working on? Are you working on a follow-up? Are you working up on a book that's going to be about something entirely different, or what?
So I have several projects going on right now.
Oh, cool.
I already started with a sequel that's called Rising Sun. But,
what's it called? Rising Sun?
Rising Sun, yes.
Oh, cool.
And
okay.
That's a sequence of this book. It will be situated like 4 or 5 years in the future of Black Lion.
Uh-huh.
There will be some interesting things going on. But I just started like over a month ago, so the readers will have to wait a little bit before it's done.
Yeah, but, I know. When you get those things flowing in you that you can actually sit down and write, you know. And I want to emphasize here, what's really cool about this is there is a Spanish version to this book available. And for anyone that's listening anywhere that's missed the beginning of the show, today on Red Velvet Media, I have Carlos Viola, and we're talking about his new book, Black Lion. And Carlos comes from a really interesting background of technology and satellites, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the first satellite came about and how he decided to start writing this book and stuff like that. Carlos, your son's very much involved in your business too as well, isn't he?
Well, yes, he's starting to. Actually, my son is a lawyer, and he works for a federal court in Argentina. But as I told you before, this book is out of published. So what I did is I started a company here in Florida, and Harris & Johansson Publishers is called, and that would be the company that's publishing it. So when I did that...
Oh, really? So it's a publishing house. You've created,
that's right.
You founded a publishing house? Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm learning every day because I didn't know anything about that. And it's really incredible. And, yeah,
publishing industry is interesting, isn't it? A lot of people don't realize. It's like,
very interesting.
And yeah.
Like I said before, it's a lot of things to be doing from the design of the cover to the editing to the type of paper to be used to the type of the dust jacket in the hardcover, and if the cover will be in such or such material. It's really amazing and very interesting, and I'm having a lot of fun doing that. And my son wanted to help, so he's in charge of getting in contact with the media and with the publishers, which is Melissa and her people. And yes, he's helping me, and now my daughter, who's a child psychologist, is also helping me a little bit, and even my wife, which she is the vice president of the company, and she. So it's I'm starting a family business. They are excited because I wrote this book, and they're willing to help, although they have their own work and their own stuff. So it's good to have the family around helping me.
That's fantastic. That you're doing that, and I totally get what goes into publishing, because I've had a lot of people that have come onto my show with new books, and they deal with a lot of publishers like HarperCollins and different people. And I know me personally, because I'm currently writing a children's book, and I know my very dear friend Janet Elaine Smith, who's a published author. She's written a lot of romantic mystery type books, you know, really, really neat books, and some are really funny, and then some are just really, like, really intense. She told me, you know, basically that what I should do is publish my book and do it in black and white, where I'm not really paying to put images in, because I hear that if you put the images in, it costs more money. So she said, make it like black and white, where the kids can color the pictures, and do a paperback book rather than a hard copy. I mean, this is like your baby, Black Lion. I mean, did you have? I know. I mean, that's like really accomplished. Did you have a release party for this book?
No, I'm planning to have some couple events here in Miami, and I will have a release party in Buenos Aires sometime next month, yes. I will do that, yes. And I'm planning some events from here before the end of the year, both over there and here. So, yes, I will be happy to let you know about them.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I want to make sure that you do keep in touch with me, and Melissa, I'm sure, will also be in touch with me, and I definitely want to have you back on your with your follow-up book, you know, and
you.
Talk about that. And this has been really, really cool. So the book Black Lion, again, is available on Amazon, Kindle, iBooks, Nook, and also on, you can go to the website, and it's carlosviola.com, and that's CarlosViola.com. And Carlos, did you want, since I may be having a Spanish-speaking audience listening, would you like to tell everybody where they can get your book in Spanish really quick?
You want me to say it in Spanish?
Yeah, I want you to let everybody know about your book and where they can get it.
Sure. El libro León Negro, en la versión español de Black Lion, está disponible en iTunes, Amazon Kindle y Nook, de Barnes & Noble, y próximamente en 2 semanas va a estar en seguramente todas las librerías de Estados Unidos, en casi todas las principales librerías, por lo menos, de la edición en tapa dura, hardcover. You understood, Holly?
You're killing me. You know, I understand. I understood. I heard the word Barnes and Noble. I heard hardcover. Now, you know, it's really funny. The language is so beautiful. And in the country you live in, besides there in Miami, it's pronounced Miami, right? Not Miami. A lot of people say Miami. It's Miami, right? Isn't that how you say
it? No, I say Miami always, but a lot of people here say Miami,
okay.
Right.
All right, well, I
want
to ask you, in Buenos Aires, what's the language over there that is predominant there?
Well, it's Spanish, but it's a little, I would say, Italian-style Spanish, because we have a lot of Italian accent. Spanish also, but it's of course Spanish, but with a little accent. I would say Italian Spanish.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Yeah, because
yeah.
I've spent time in Italy, and I can hear that. So now, you know, if you don't know me that well, you know what I'm going to ask about next is food. I want to know about the food.
well,
I want to hear about the food over there. I've heard it's great.
Yeah, it is great, and we're very fond of what we call asados. Actually, it's barbecues, but we do it a little different than here. We have all types of meat cuts that we do it on a barbecue that normally they're not mobile. And
special spices or something? Are there special
spices? No, not spicy. It's mainly beef and also sausages and glass sausages and sweetbreads.
Oh, wow.
Everything was very good. We have very good wines, especially the Malbec from Mendoza is something that has a very good worldwide reputation, the Argentine Malbec. So you probably
fantastic. I love. Do you know I live in, do you know where I'm calling from, where I'm at? I'm in Sonoma. I'm on a vineyard.
Oh. That's nice. Wow.
So wine? Yeah, I mean, you know, the vintners here, I know a lot about the vintners and about the winemaking and what goes into it, and we're just now having harvest time here. So
very nice country area. I was there a couple of times when I was living in Stamford. Yes, very, very
really?
Nice.
Really?
Oh, yeah, very
yeah,
nice.
It's beautiful here, huh?
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
It's
wow.
Like very
you
pretty
come.
This time of year.
Oh, yeah, it is. All the year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you should try the Malbec. The Argentine Malbec, you should try it. And when you come to visit us to Argentina, we'll make a good barbecue for you.
Are you kidding? I would love. Oh, my gosh. You, like, totally opened up a door here for me. Because anybody knows I love, you know, well, how did I get the name Red Velvet? I mean, I named my company after my favorite cake. You know, everybody says, you know, red velvet cupcakes, red velvet cake. You see red velvet everywhere. They're even making red velvet ice cream now. So, you know, there you go. But I'm really intrigued with, like, the different foods around the world and how people, you know, I mean, I've spent so much time in Morocco and Spain and you know, also in South Africa and in that whole area, you know, learning how to create different kinds of foods and stuff like that. And it's so interesting because my one friend, Janet, lived in Argentina, I believe. No, Portugal, I think, for a while.
Oh, okay.
So the food is amazing. And I know you guys have a very healthy outlook on food as well. Everybody knows you have to talk about food on my show, okay? If you're going to be on my show, we have to talk about food at one point or another. But I wanted to thank you so much for being here today and talking to me about your book, Black Lion, and soon to be followed by Rising Sun. And we will be make sure to keep in touch with each other. Because I would definitely like to have you on again with your next project.
Thank you very much, Holly. Thank you for having me. It has really been an honor to be here in your show, and I want to congratulate you because you really make it easy. You're a really very good host. You're very, very good, really. Thank you very much.
I'm happy that you're comfortable. I was so worried. I wanted to make sure you were comfortable, and that's why I said slow down. There's no time clock. You can just relax. You know? It's like, tell people what's really going on. You know, that's what I wanted to ask you. What does your wife think about your book? Because I know, I mean, that's your life partner. So what does she feel about Black Lion?
Oh, my wife, Maria, and if you see the first page, I love her very much. So in the first, the dedication page.
I saw that.
That is for the great love of my life, my wife Maria, who constantly believes in me in all of my undertakings. She's always with me, and I love her more every day. And I really do, and she keeps up with me a lot, and she always encourages me to do things. And she's a really, really very good partner.
Carlos, you're very blessed to have that, because there are a lot of people that are looking for that, and a lot of people that don't really have somebody behind them supporting them in their emotional outlets, which this actually is for you because this is like your creative edge.
Definitely, yes.
Besides
I'm
now
very...
publishing. What with your publishing house you are opening up, are you what other publishing are you looking at doing?
Okay, of course, my books. Then I'm working on a project. My mother passed away in 1991. She wrote also books. She wrote a lot of things, but published a book of her travels with my father and poems.
Wow.
And I'm going to republish that book also. I'm working on that project also. I'll have it republished. And then I have some other friends that have expressed interest in having the work published. So I'm going to revise.
You're
going to
help.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to help. Yes, I will be helping them, yes.
That's
so
amazing.
It's very exciting, really. Yeah.
It is. It is. Now, how long are you in Miami for? You're in Miami for another week, and then you go back home, right?
Yeah, I'll be here for 2 more weeks. Actually, 2 more weeks. I'm going back on the 16th, and then probably coming back in 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Fantastic. Are you promoting your book, Black Lion, in Miami?
Oh, yes. I'm promoting it, trying to promote it everywhere, and I'm being given help, as you said before, by my son and my daughter and people like Melissa, so I'm trying to do the promotion, the marketing.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
The one-man show.
A lot of fun.
Well, you know, congratulations on this because you're doing really awesome, and it was, again, so interesting to have you on. And I learned something new today. I didn't know that the first satellite was in 1959, and I didn't know the difference between a lot of the different things, and that's really interesting. And for you to come from that background and then write a book and then also focus on world terrorism, which everybody knows me. I'm, like, totally into letting people know what's really going on. And if I can help in any way with any situation in the world, you know, I'm always right there trying to help do something. So I want to thank you again for being here. And we're going to end the show today with another Frank Sinatra song that you enjoy. And now I can understand why Come Fly With Me is such a good song and fun for you, you know. And so if anybody missed the show from the beginning, you can listen to it. It's in entirety on iTunes. And also it will be available on Red Velvet Media, Blog Talk Radio afterwards. And make sure to tune in tomorrow, guys, as I have Frank Stefanko. And for people that don't know who Frank Stefanko is, he's an amazing photographer, Carlos. He photographed Bruce Springsteen, Patti Smyth, and just does a lot of also landscape-type photography, which a lot of people really don't know. And I'm really excited about having him back on. He's really cool. And then Thursday's Halloween. You'll be in Miami for Halloween. Halloween must be in Miami. And then, you know, so I'll be doing a Halloween show, and that's going to be really fun. I'll be having a lot of surprise guests calling in. And then on Friday, I'm having a very special music guest. So that's my lineup. That's Red Velvet Media and Carlos's new book, Black Lion. The show will be available immediately when the show's over. And with that, did you want to say anything to everybody, Carlos, before we end the show?
No, just thank you very much. I really enjoyed being in your show. It was very interesting telling the stories, and I look forward to listening to a lot more of your shows.
I invite you. And I want to give a shout out to my friend Jimmy, if he's listening. Jimmy! Here's the interview. Jimmy's actually in Florida, too. So, Jimmy, if you're listening, Mr. Uliano, here you go. So this is a really good show, and with that, I'm going to end it. And, Carlos, thank you so much for being here today, and make sure you keep in touch with me and let me know what's happening. And with that,
we'll
see everybody tomorrow on the air. I'm on the air tomorrow, 2 o'clock. See you then.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off
in the blue. Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.